News with Nick. It is the episode for May 23rd, 2018. It has been quite a while since I've been in the studio. Well, actually, it's not been quite a while since I've been in the studio, but it's been quite a while since I had all of the mics plugged in. This is now the third recording I've done since not having a driver's license. And you guys didn't even know the first time I did it because I got home from court and I did a show immediately. Everyone was probably wondering, hey, why is he doing a show at 3 p.m.? Doesn't he normally go to work? No, you don't go to work when you go to court because they get mad about that. Right? So anyway, again, it is the show. Video version you can see at newswithnick.com. Click on the episodes button and get your video version. So speaking of my license, I did, by the way, if you don't know why I don't have a driver's license anymore, go ahead over to patgpodcast.com, sign up for the VIP, and download the episode called Nick Goes to Jail. Where I went to jail and dropped my license. It went right down one of those cracks in the shower, like where you have to shower with the other men. I dropped it down, and it went into the drain, which is good because they say don't even bend down and pick up the soap, much less your driver's license, if you drop it in the shower, right? Cool. You guys have been following the royal wedding. This happened. A guy married a lady over in the UK, and apparently it's very, like, big news or something. I don't know why. It was Yanni and Laurel got married over in the UK, and so now, happy anniversary, Yanni and Laurel. Happy for them. Man defending his Hawaii home from volcano is hit by a flaming lava bomb. Uh-oh. The recording, the intro music is still going.
People's minds is that geothermal power plant. Officials made quite clear yesterday, though, that the site is secure, at least for right now. Those geothermal wells, they've managed to pour cold water into them, and the lava is still more than a mile away. So, at least for now, things are safe in that department.
What is this? That movie called Volcano, where a volcano happens? You might want to step back, said Daryl Clinton, as yet another explosion boomed nearby. He seemed to know exactly what that sound meant. A fissure that violently cracked open the Earth's surface was spewing more lava and possibly more lava bombs, flying chunks of molten rock. So in Hawaii, apparently there are volcanoes going on right now, and at any time, one can explode, and then it just sends molten lava heading straight for you. Clinton spoke to CNN on Friday while defending two homes in Pahoa, roughly 100 yards from an unstable fissure that's been erupting for more than a week now. To get from one house to another took a life-or-death game of Frogger. How do you defend your homes from lava? Maybe we'll find out. He pointed to the remains of one lava bomb purged from a nearby fissure that landed just inches from a friend's house. The yard was littered every few feet with fallen lava, but Clinton wasn't worried about getting hit by the hunks of molten rock. Oh yeah, come at me, hunks of molten rock. Come on, lava. Get it? Come on, mud. It's almost like catching a football. What? It's almost like catching a football, Clinton said, in describing how to avoid being hit, but you don't want to catch this football. So it's almost like catching a football, only the exact opposite. Armed with just a fire extinguisher and a garden hose, he defended the homes of friends. He sprayed down burning lava bombs that hit houses to prevent them from catching fire. Heaps of flaming rock shattered windows and destroyed a septic tank, setting it ablaze with a blue flame of burning methane gas. A day later, Clinton fell a victim himself. He was talking on his cell phone for mere moments when a bowling ball-sized lava bomb hit him in the leg while he was on the porch. It didn't just happen. Oh, wait. Sorry. That didn't just happen was my first thought. I knew it was real because of the pain. What? The fiery bomb snapped bones in his leg. Then I got caught on fire, fell on the floor, grabbed my foot and leg, and held them together. He said his ex-wife, Lisa Roach, was nearby and took him to the hospital. She was helping him defend the homes. The pair were keeping watch in shifts. Oh, my goodness. What? There's volcanoes. We got to stay up and do shifts with the garden hose, because if a lava bomb starts coming, you got to shoot it. Like, shooting those ducks in that duck hunter game. Right? Roach said CNN told CNN she believes the intense heat of the lava bomb actually cauterized the wound, preventing it from bleeding more than it did.
What?
It's like a lightsaber? The burning projectile set Clinton's porch ablaze, but a neighbor managed to extinguish it. He's like laying there. He's like, oh, my leg. And the neighbor's running over. He's like, are you okay? Are you okay? He's like, no, get the fire out. Save yourself and my porch, actually, not my leg. It's already gone. Roach said he can already wiggle his toes, but he won't be able to put weight on the injured foot for at least 6 weeks. I'm peeking still. Peeking. Sorry. This has to be. We have to do this in the first couple minutes of the show, or it's going to end up being a very bad show. How's the audio chat? Like catching a 5,000-degree football, Joe Montana says. Oh, hey, that's cool that Joe Montana's in the chat for the story about not catching footballs, right? Because Joe Montana, he couldn't catch anything. Worst receiver ever. But it won't be able to put weight on his foot for at least 6 weeks. The Big Island residents have endured thousands of earthquakes, relentless lava flow, and dangerous levels of sulfur dioxide since the volcano erupted earlier this month. What's worth, fissures that look dormant can suddenly rage back to life, shooting fountains of flaming rock into the air again. But no, so I don't understand. If you are in Hawaii right now, are you going to work? Are you like driving over the lava cracks and going, hopefully this one doesn't blow? And you had a red light, but you have to stop on one. You're like, and you look down out your windows, like you see the lava flowing under the cracks. It's all a guessing game, says Bruce Tickerl, who owns two properties. Donna Mueller is also packing up to leave her home. You can see it blew out this window. I wish. All right. So anyway, bunch of stuff's going on in Hawaii right now. I guess, is anyone in Hawaii? This is the second thing that's happened to them in like 2 weeks. There was a missile thing, right? The missile attack came in, and now it's the lava attack, and probably they sent out an alert going, there's a volcano, there's lava going everywhere, there's lava in the streets, this is not a drill. And they were like, yeah, right, remember the missile? And then many people actually confirmed burned to death because they just ignored the lava flow warnings on their phone. Is that even a thing? All right, let's get into the Santa Fe High School shooting. This is pretty exciting. A school shooting occurred at Santa Fe High School in Texas on May 18th, 2018. So we're about 5 days out from the biggest school shootings we've had in a while. Not quite as big as Nicholas Cruz, but let's try to figure out what happened here. The shooter began firing a weapon into an art class at the school at around 7:40 a.m. Central Daylight Time. The incident occurred at the school's art complex, which consists of four rooms connected to one another with interior hallways and other rooms. Oh, what? Okay, so, huh? The art complex. Okay, so there's four rooms connected by hallways. Have you guys ever seen a room connected by a hallway? I don't even know. Survivors stated that there are two art classrooms that were the target of the shooting that were connected by a ceramics room. This guy's name, Pagortitz, the shooter, was able to access by damaging the window in the door and fired into the room. One wounded victim told reporters that the shooter walked into the classroom and pointed at another individual saying, I'm going to kill you. According to the witness, students barricaded themselves in the art classroom storage closet and the shooter shot through the door with a shotgun. The shooter then left the art room briefly, causing students to leave the closet and attempt to barricade the art room door. Okay, so they're in the closet, the interior room, shot through the door. Doesn't say if he hit anyone. So he leaves the art room entirely. Someone peeks through the door and goes, he's gone. Right, they run out of the closet. They try to barricade the main door, but the shooter pushed the door open. Upon spotting a student he knew, he said, surprise, and shot the student in the chest. Okay. Police officers stationed at the school engaged with the shooter, with one officer being wounded and admitted in critical condition to the local hospital. After shooting into the ceramics room, the shooter was engaged by the Santa Fe school police officer and a Texas state trooper who attempted to have him surrender peacefully. He reportedly threatened to shoot the officers and repeatedly fired rounds while arguing with the police. The shooter surrendered to the officers after being injured during the shooting. The sheriff reported that officers engaged the shooter within 4 minutes and allowed for the safe evacuation of other students in the facility. He later admitted in a statement to police that he meant to kill classmates that he shot while sparing the students he liked. The shooting lasted about 20 minutes until the shooter was in custody. Okay, so this is very strange. Two other individuals were detained by police as persons of interest. One was detained at the scene due to suspicious reactions after the shooting. What? Like what? Suspicious reactions? He was like, ah, ha, ha, finally, the shooting has occurred. Whoa, weird. All right. According to one witness, the shooter was the victim of bullying by multiple students and coaches. The school refuted the allegations of bullying by faculty. One of his former teachers described him as quiet, but he wasn't quiet in a creepy way, they say. They had never seen him draw or write anything in a class journal that she found suspicious or unusual. The student was on the honor roll, and he played on the school football team. The shooter's journals on his computer and cell phone found by authorities after this shooting indicated that not only did he want to commit the shooting, but he wanted to commit suicide after the shooting, planned on doing this for some time. He advertised his intentions, but somehow slipped through the cracks. Classmates recounted how, at a water park the day before the shooting, he did not show any signs of his plans, and he seemed friendly and funny. Interesting. All right, let's read the affidavit real quick. This is from the actual police. In the name and by the authority of the state of Texas, before me, the undersigned authority on this day personally appeared, Effant J. Roy, who after being by me duly sworn, blah, 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 he's going to be arrested on a capital murder of multiple persons. Okay. Here are the descriptions of events. On May 18th, 2018, approximately 7:32 a.m., according to the Galveston County Dispatch System, multiple law enforcement agents responded to the Santa Fe High School after receiving reports of an active shooter inside. The affiant responded from his residence to the Santa Fe... Oh, sorry. Affiant is the person writing the affidavit, okay? The cop learned that there were more reports of multiple victims being shot at approximately 7:45 a.m. to 8 a.m. after law enforcement arrived on the scene. We learned that there was an officer with the Santa Fe Independent School had received a gunshot wound and was transported to a hospital. The cops learned that from Sergeant Brent Cooley with the Galveston County Sheriff's Office, as he was searching the school, in one of the classrooms, he found more than two victims who were deceased from apparent gunshot wounds. We also learned that from Sergeant Cooley that the deceased victims' identities were unknown at this time, but were described as victim one, victim two, victim three. More than two victims, apparently. Further learned from the sergeant that at approximately 8:02 a.m., a white male exited Art Lab Classroom 2 of the Santa Fe High School and surrendered. The white male was later identified as the shooter, and he was transported to the Santa Fe Police Department, where he was advised of his Miranda warning and later waived his Miranda warning. Later waived it. He also learned from Captain Meadows that the shooter was interviewed, and he gave a statement admitting to shooting multiple people inside the Santa Fe High School with the intent on killing people. The shooter advised he dressed in a trench coat and had a Remington 870 shotgun and a .38 caliber pistol. We learned that the shooter advised he did not shoot students he liked so that he could have his story told. Okay.
Discussions on school safety, and in those closed door meetings here on the second floor of the Capitol are a host of people. One of them today, a gun control advocate.
Boring. So let's go. Let's jump over to. I had a video of him getting. Oh man, maybe I don't have the video ready. I had a video of him getting booked. It was really funny. So let's listen to this video. This is of the one of the lieutenant governor, and people are going hard on him because he's saying there's too many entrances and exits to the school. And also, I need a second to get a drink.
Design of our schools moving forward and retrofitting schools that are already built. And what I mean by that is there are too many entrances and too many exits to our over 8,000 campuses in Texas. Over 8,000 campuses. There aren't enough people to put a guard at every entrance and exit. You would be talking 25, 30, 40,000 people. But if we can protect a large office building or a courthouse or any major facility, maybe we need to look at limiting the entrance and the exits into our schools so that we can have law enforcement looking at the people who come in one or two entrances. Schools may have to have...
All right, so CNN was real mad at this guy because he wasn't saying, we need to stop the guns, we need to stop the entrances, which whatever, okay. That's also stupid. You can't be having people searched at every single end, right? I don't know. Maybe we should.
Nondescript high school student. But on April 30th, less than a month ago, he also posted this. A custom black t-shirt that says, Born to Kill. Indications are the shooter may have been wearing this t-shirt when he went to school this morning. Another post, a black duster jacket with Nazi, communist, fascist, and religious symbols. And under the name Kamikaze, Pegorchis posted three rap songs on YouTube. That is it. The rest, typical teen. A photo of him in a church group. Other photos showing an average American.
Yeah, we don't have enough info on this guy. He's not a real interesting one like that Elliot Rodger. We don't have any manifesto. We don't have his journal yet or his notes. So what the heck? He just is like, well, guess I'd like to shoot people. Guess I can be famous again. So, however, here's the interesting thing. Two in a row that I know of that we've gotten the person alive. This is very rare, right? Nicholas, whatever his name was, Nicholas Cruz, right? He's alive, and so is this shooter. And they both had similar, they both had, like, this was a high one. He almost got, like, Columbine level here. But so this is a big one, and the one before was a big one. That's two big ones in a high school in this just this year. So good stuff, right, everyone? Not really. Okay. NFL passes rule. This happened today. Fining teams if they do not show respect for the flag. The NFL passed a rule on Wednesday that will fine teams for perceived disrespect of the American flag. So here we go again, folks, with the kneeling thing. My name is Blackman, and I like to kneel for the flag. That's what they say. So here are the new rules. All team and league personnel on the field shall stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. The game operations manual will be revised to remove the requirement that all players be on the field for the anthem. Okay, so these two go hand in hand. You don't have to be on the field, but if you are on the field, you must show and stand respect. So they're not going to let people do the whatever. If you're calling it a protest to kneel, a demonstration, whatever. You can't turn your back. You can't give the finger to the flag. You can't whip out your earthworm and wave it at the flag, I assume. I mean, it doesn't say that straight up. Like, what if you're like, that is me. That's how I show respect. Personnel who choose not to stand for the anthem may stay in the locker room or in a similar location off the field until the anthem has been performed. A club will be fined by the league if its personnel are on the field and do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. Each club may develop its own work rules consistent with the above principles regarding its personnel who do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. All right, what do we think of this? How dumb is it, or is it okay? I'm going to vote. Do I have to vote? Like, I vote don't do the anthem at the football. Just be like, okay, we're all here and football, right? Who cares about the stupid flag and the anthem? Why are we doing that at a football game? Anyway, that's my vote, but that's not one of the choices. So I guess, it's okay. It's a little silly that now we're going to have to talk about it more. That's very stupid. A passenger on a United Airlines flight found an unlikely hero after the man seated next to her on the aircraft body-shamed her. Savannah Phillips was left devastated when on a flight from Oklahoma to Chicago on Tuesday, she noticed the passenger sitting next to her referred to as a... What did he refer to her as? We'll find out after the break! Just kidding. I'm actually just going to read... Wait, is this the video? Oh, see. We're actually just going to read it straight from her Facebook page. So here's what happened. Some lady went on Facebook, wrote a real long post, and then the news picked it up and wrote an article about her Facebook post. That's literally what the news is these days, people. Ooh, a Facebook post. I'm going to write a whole news article and make it sound like I've actually done research. So let's just go right to the post and we'll read it. The chat says, Nick, now sponsored by Coca-Cola. Yeah, if you head on over and to newswithnick.com and you see some of my latest News with Nick's, or sorry, Nick Ryder tips, where I'm doing the poker tips, yes, I am sponsored by Coca-Cola. All right, here we go. It is Savannah Phillips, and she posts on Facebook. I am only sharing the story of what happened to me today in hopes that the person who stuck up for me will somehow be recognized. I've been on airplanes for the past 3 weeks. What the? Wow, she's homeless and lives on an airplane. My flight to Chicago was changed to an earlier flight because of storms. Okay, big whoop. So I didn't get to pick my seat like I normally do. I always try to sit in a row where I don't have to sit next to anyone. I'm not the... Huh? That's not a choice. I mean, I guess in some planes it is, but that's not necessarily a choice you're allowed to make. If there's a chair next to you, you might have to sit next to someone. Anyway, I always try to sit in a row where I don't have to sit next to anyone. I'm not the biggest person on the airplane, but I'm not the smallest. My worst nightmare is someone being uncomfortable because they have to sit next to me. My seat was assigned at the gate, and when we boarded, I was sitting next to an older guy who said he was a comedian. He looked like he was in his 60s, and he had a bright yellow sunglasses. He stood up so I could get into my seat next to the window. As soon as I got buckled, he sat down. The flight attendant started the safety speech, and he got his phone out with huge font, and the screen brightness turned all the way up. His phone was maybe 12 inches from my face. What? How? How? His phone was maybe 12 inches from my face, and he proceeded to text someone that he was sitting next to a smelly fatty. I don't know what the rest of his text said. I turned my head away as fast as I could. I was shocked, and it was like confirmation of the negative things I think about myself on a daily basis. Before I knew it, I could feel hot, salty tears coming down my face. I sat and cried silently, hoping this guy didn't try to make small talk because I didn't trust how I would react, and I didn't want to get kicked off the plane. I was so hurt. The pilot came overhead and said there would be a 30-minute delay before he could take off. Great. Just one more time, I have to sit next to this creep. What? He's not a creep. How is he a creep? He'd be a creep if he was like, hey, sexy, sexy, you want to rub up against me? I'm going to put the armrest up. Oh, I was on a plane recently, and I was sitting next to a smelly fatty, and she had the armrest up, and I got into my seat at the window, and I was like, well, I think that she wants the armrest up. I'm not going to, like, if I reach over and I put the armrest down, is that rude? Is it like, ugh? I'm putting the armrest down. So I just left it up the entire flight. I think it might have like literally constricted her body a little bit. She wasn't enormous, but I have a feeling that one of her rolls was at least coming over into my chair a bit. So I didn't want to be like, what if I start putting it down and it hits? Right? Then what do you do? It like hits her roll and it's like, uh-oh. Now you've got two choices. You pretend it didn't happen and you force it all the way down, or you have to go, oops, sorry, and you lift it back up. So I didn't even risk it. So the whole flight, I was just no armrest between us. Sorry, okay. All right, so anyway, he's not a creep because otherwise he would have been like, hey, no, sexy. But no, he said smelly fatty. That's not a creep. We're only halfway through the story. We sat on the runway waiting for the okay to take off for about 12 minutes. I sat there unable to stop silently crying. I was crunching myself up against the wall as far as I could. All of a sudden, someone from behind us taps on the guy's shoulder and says, hey, I need to talk to you. The guy next to me takes out his headphones. Someone behind us says, we are switching seats now. The guy next to me said, okay, why? And I hear someone say, removing the curse words, you are texting about her and I'm not putting up with that. Aw. A guy comes and sits next to me and is shocked when he sees me crying. He asked if I saw the texts and I nodded yes. He encouraged me not to let that guy get to me and that everything was going to be fine. Oh my God, he's white knighting. Perfect opportunity. We talked about Ross and the kids, his 2-year-old son, our jobs, amongst other things. And then we went to the thing to try to bang, but I couldn't fit into the lavatory. He said he just happened to see the guy's text message and started shaking that he was so mad, and he knew he had to do something. He stopped the flight attendant and told her what he was about to do. I told him thank you for what he did and that it meant the world to me and that he would be my husband's new favorite person. Oh, man, that must suck. Like, he's going up to her. He's like, hey, I'll rescue you. And she's like, thank you. My husband will love you. He's like, damn it. We're switching back. She has a husband. He wasn't, sorry, blah, blah, blah. I don't freaking know. The flight attendant kept trying to give him free drinks and told him he was her hero. What the heck? This whole plane's like turning on the guy that wrote Smelly Fatty. The flight attendant's like, you're my hero, sir, for sitting next to the Smelly Fatty. Oh, God, this is so funny. I told him that yesterday at church, one of my favorite people on the planet, Jeff McClellan, talked about how God sees you. Good time, blah, blah, blah. So this guy's name is Chase. He works at for Whiskey Row in Nashville. Share this post, look him up, blah, blah, blah. All right. Cool. So that happened. All right. So we have the video here of her actually being interviewed by the news. She's not smelly. She doesn't look smelly. She's definitely not fatty. She's fine.
Shamed on a plane. Savannah Phillips was on a United flight from Oklahoma City to Chicago when she says the guy sitting next to her texted something that.
Wait, why
really
is there a video of the guy?
My eyes just happened to.
Oh, that was just B-roll of a guy texting on a plane.
Lance, and I saw the two words smelly fatty.
Who do you think he's referring to?
Automatically, I think he's referring to me.
She had no evidence. She had no evidence that he meant smelly fatty. Maybe he was texting someone who's like, man, I was banging someone last night, but it turned out it was a smelly fatty. And then she just starts crying for no reason. She's not. She looks fine.
What was your reaction when you saw that?
I just didn't know what to do. I kind of silently cried, would wipe away a tear every now and then.
Fellow passenger Chase Irwin, who was sitting across the aisle, says he also saw the insulting text and posted a short video. This guy just texted his wife that he's sitting next.
Oh, I guess it is evidence if the other guy hurt saw the full-on text. Oh, and he did take a video. It really was of the guy. And then he Snapchatted it. This guy just texted his wife that he's sitting next to a smelly fatty and is going to vomit. I watched her read the text and she's now looking sad.
Next to a smelly fatty and is going to vomit. I watched her read his text and is now looking sad.
I began noticing her wiping tears and my heart sank. I mean, It honestly made me sick to my stomach.
The chat says she's not even a fatty. Exactly. I mean, she's plus sized, but she's no big fatso.
Chase actually confronted the man.
I grabbed him by his shoulder and I said, "You're gonna sit in the seat I was sitting in, and I'm gonna sit here." And he said, "Thank you, but why? Like, what's wrong?" And I said, "You're a heartless human being. I read the text that you were writing, and as well as she did, and she's crying."
What transpired between you and Savannah? What did you say to her?
Well, I sat down and I put my arm around her and I said, "Hey, I know why you're crying. I read the exact same thing that you read, and I want you to know that I'm not gonna tolerate this."
Savannah calls Chase her hero.
I could not believe that someone would step forward like that and defend a total stranger.
Wow. And she had a husband, so it didn't even work out for him. Oh, well. Yeah, now that you're stuck there. But no, she's fine. You probably could have put the armrest down. I don't think she was as fat as the person I was next to, and that lady wasn't that fat either. She was just a little roly. Why are people reading other people's phones, the chat says? Because, I don't know. Huge text. He said it was... they said it was 12 inches from my face, right? And in huge text with the brightness all the way. I was blinded by the text and the words smelly fatty. They were flashing like a marquee across the screen. All right, so speaking of flying, I did fly out to Grand Rapids. I ran in the 5th, 3rd Riverbank Run. Now you might be going, is it the 5th or is it the 3rd? Or is it the 5th, 3rd? So it's the 15th? Right? Or is it the 1.666 repeating? I don't understand. No, it's the 5th, 3rd bank. and they have the dumbest name ever. However, they host a 25K in Grand Rapids, and I did run it. I ran it last year. I ran it in 1 hour and 56 minutes or so. Not very good, but it did qualify for what they call the two-hour club, right? So the two-hour club means that when you get to the race, you get to ride up an escalator. They put a guard at the bottom, and they say, this area is closed. And then you show them your two-hour club bib, and they go, this area is open, right? Now, when I first got there, when I was packing for going there, rather, I was like, it's May. It's going to be warm. I'm not packing any long sleeve shirts or hats or gloves. I'm just going to pack shorts and a t-shirt, right? That'll be fine. Then I get there and I'm watching the news and they're like, the weather for the race is going to be awful. It's going to be 40. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be like kind of like the Boston Marathon, but not as bad, but still like in 40s and rainy. I'm like, uh-oh, I got to go to the thrift store immediately. So I got to go to I go to this thrift store. I'm searching through the outerwear. I find a $6 female athletic like wind jacket or whatever. I'm like, perfect. So I end up actually wearing that to the race and throwing it away at mile three. So someone out there, if they collected it, has my sweaty, sweaty shirt. But it worked fine. Anyway, not too much to say. I ran, so 25K is 15 and a half miles, and I was able to run it in 1 hour, 43 minutes, and 56 seconds. I think I was 130th out of some 3,800 total people, and then almost in the top five of the males. So that's pretty cool. That's about it. Good story. What is next? Oh, yeah, speaking of running, so I had this video of this is a marathon that happened in the Plymouth, but not Plymouth in the United States. Apparently there's a Plymouth in the UK or something. So there's a half marathon going on, and this lady is real mad. She wants to leave, and so she pulls up to the side street where the marathon is going on. She parks her car, and she's like, how can I get through? And she's just sitting there. So someone starts recording because they're like, she can't drive through. There's a ton of runners. Can she? So they're telling her, back up. You cannot come through. She starts going. She starts going forward. The guy grabs a cone. I don't know why he grabs a cone. He grabs an orange cone and he shoves it in front of her car. Like, that's going to magically stop it. I'm going to stop your car with this cone. So now she starts driving. Now she's on the race course. And there are runners trying to, like, dodge the car. The guy tries to jump in.
I'm going very slowly. No, I can't get out.
You can't get out anyway. It's
closed.
She's like, I can't get out. I'm going slowly. So she starts driving through the half marathon. This is like when Andrew turns into an old woman. This is what he's going to be doing.
No, I can't get out.
You can't get out anyway. It's closed.
Excuse me. Excuse me. I'm a police
fucking
officer.
Fucking unbelievable.
Listen.
You're breaking the law.
I have tried to get out every it's which way. But you're just going to have to wait here. I have a workshop in Oakhampton. I have had no information at what time I need to get out.
Don't be so stupid. Don't be kill someone.
I wait very slowly.
Runners are stopping to, like, yell at her, and then they keep running.
Stay there.
Well, you can phone the workshop.
Turn your engine on. Stay there.
I have tried. Stay there. Every week.
She's very mad.
Stay there.
About 3-5 years ago, we had... I'm going to. 5 years ago, we had information as to when to be out, where we could park, anything.
So you live local. You've driven past that sign.
I live up there.
You've driven past that sign every day.
I know that it was happening, but it doesn't say when you're...
All right, I don't know where she's trying to go. However, I was looking at the half marathon, and it's not the fast people. They have people in here that are about 45 minutes slower than me for the whole thing. So they're not going super fast, right? They could have been like, stop everyone. This old disabled lady needs to get through. Now, it depends how far on the road she has to go. If she just needs to cross the road, that's one thing. If she's got to ride down this road for like several miles, you can't be doing that. They could have like waited for like a second, right? No one, let's say nobody's qualifying for the Olympics at the point that she was crossing the road. So they could wait for like 15 seconds. But still, Chaz says cops in the U.S. would have shot her by now. Probably. The U.K. cops don't have guns, I guess. She was like trying to run over people. A man became enraged at a New York deli after apparently overhearing employees speaking Spanish and threatened to call immigration authorities in a lengthy rant captured on video. The incident, which was first reported by Latino rebels, occurred Tuesday at the Fresh Kitchen in Midtown Manhattan, according to a video posted to social media. So let's watch the original video. So this is a guy. He's pretty skinny, wearing his tight shirt. It's like, hey, I'm white, and I'm wearing a white shirt because I only wear white things. Let's listen to him.
He's speaking Spanish to customers when they should be speaking.
Being very violent.
I mean, sometimes they do.
Very violent. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Every person I listen to, he spoke it, she's speaking it. It's America.
He's very mad that people are speaking Spanish. My guess is they're not documented.
If they have the balls to come here and live off of my money, I pay for their welfare, I pay for their ability to be here. Maybe you shouldn't eat that sandwich today. Take a break from the food.
Maybe you should get hit by the car.
Was she fat? Oh, is she a fat smelly? She a smelly fatty? Because he just said, maybe you shouldn't eat that sandwich today. Aaron Schlossberg Law. To the people I insulted, I apologize. Seeing myself online opened my eyes. The manner in which I expressed myself is unacceptable and is not the person I am. I see my words and actions hurt people, and for that I am deeply sorry. While people should be able to express themselves freely, they should do so calmly and respectfully. What the video did not convey is the real me. I am not racist. One of the reasons I moved to New York is precisely because of the remarkable diversity offered in this wonderful city. I love this country and this city in part because of the immigrants and the diversity of cultures immigrants bring to this, the diversity that immigrants bring to this country. Again, my sincerest apologies to anyone and everyone I hurt. All right, let's see what people are tweeting back to him. Wow, it took you a whole week to apologize. Did Dennis ever come out with these jokes you were waiting for him to write? Whatever. So this guy, they're very mad at him. And there's really no news to read because every news is just going to play off the funny video that was shown. Let's see. Is there an expert that talks about how this happened?
So you had a run-in with him outside of your office, right? At a protest outside of your office.
What? Okay, so now anytime anyone has ever talked to this man, they go, oh, you've met him? You've talked to him? What happened?
I want to take. Let's take a look at it, and then we'll talk. Can
please
we put it up.
That's
it.
You are not a Jew. 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 You are not a Jew.
Are you a Jew?
Well, that was unexpected. He just starts yelling, "You are not a Jew!" at people.
So he's saying there, you are not a Jew, and he's screaming expletives, and you shot this video. Tell us about the encounter. What happened?
Yeah, so Linda Sarsour was going to speak at a CUNY commencement ceremony, and there was a protest outside my office about her speaking. Pamela Geller was there, Milo Yiannopoulos was there, they were both speaking, and across the street were a group of Haredi Jews who are actually pretty controversial in their own right, because they are very pro-Palestine and kind of anti-Zionist Jews. And after Pamela Geller got done speaking, this group of Trump supporters sort of crossed the street, and I was interviewing one of the Haredi Jews there, and he just started berating them, screaming at them that they were fake Jews.
Okay, good point. So he's not just a guy that messed up one time and started yelling about Spanish speakers. You wouldn't do that. Right? You wouldn't call someone a smelly fatty to their face, and you wouldn't call someone Spanish speakers to their face just randomly, right? That doesn't just pop into your head. You have to already have the anger, and it looks like he already does. So it sounds like he's getting what he deserved. You guys hear about that Josh Denny? So Josh Denny is a guy who I don't have a news story in front of me right now because I can do it from memory, right? Josh Denny is a guy who used to be on the show called Nobody Likes Onions. It was a podcast way back in the Podcast Alley days. Now, I don't think he was on the show in the Podcast Alley days, but Nobody Likes Onions is still a show and Josh Denny was on it. Now, Josh Denny ended up being relatively successful somehow in his quest to get a show. He got a show on the Food Network called Ginormous Food. And everyone who had ever followed Josh Denny as a complete idiot finally was like, what? He actually succeeded at something? That's insane. And then this week, Josh Denny tweeted out, the new N-word is being called a straight white male. Right, everyone? And everyone went, no. And now he's getting so much news coverage because some Food Network star tweeted out something that was a little racist. When had you ever looked into Josh Denny's comedic history anyway, you probably would have found a ton of stuff that you could have dug up. But now it's very hilarious because he's on TMZ and everything. This stupid guy that used to be on the dumbest podcast I listen to, just joking around with that Patrick Melton from Nobody Likes Onions, now in big trouble for saying the N-word is like being white, right? Two Americans were detained by a Border Patrol agent after he heard them speaking Spanish. Got a lot of Spanish stuff going on today.
Border Patrol agent early this morning at a Haver convenience store.
Anna Suda and her friend took a video of the interaction.
In the video, please, why you ask us for our IDs, please?
Ma'am, the reason I asked you for your ID is because I came in here and I saw that you guys are speaking Spanish, which is very unheard of up here.
Okay.
Wow.
The women, who are U.S. citizens, were speaking Spanish when a Border Patrol agent asked them for their identification. Suda said she paid for her items, gave the agent her ID, and she started recording the agent in the parking lot. The agent told Suda the reason he stopped them was because they were speaking Spanish, which he said was unusual for that part of Montana. The agent told the woman his actions were not racially motivated. Suda says they are still in shock that this happened.
That is the story. A man walked up to them and said, can I have your IDs? Okay. Yeah, pretty stupid. And no, I don't think border agents should be detaining anyone. On the other hand, there's no news anymore in this world. Except for this, teens charged with brutally killing an opossum and her babies on Snapchat.
Out of Cobb County. Two teens arrested for killing a possum and four babies. And it is how they killed the animals that is sparking outrage on our Facebook.
This is not news either. What's happening? Someone killed I killed several things.
Page. Kathy Baggett posted total menaces to society. It is a known fact that people that abuse animals move on to bigger things. 11 Alive's Naeem Abdullahi explains why police say this case is very hard to stomach.
Two Cobb County teenagers are in big trouble after allegedly killing a female opossum and her babies. Police called it one of the most disturbing things they've seen. Maybe it is the worst thing. Let's get into the details. I actually don't know them. So let's find out. Is the killing of the opossum the worst thing they've ever seen? Did they bang the opossum to death with their... Police said the teens used a baseball bat to beat the mother opossum and one of her babies, called Joey's. They then allegedly used a chemical mixture that included bleach and ammonia to kill three other babies. Police said the teens, both students at the high school, also filmed the incident, put it on Snapchat. Ooh, I wouldn't want to be their Snapchat friend. You're like biking along, you're like, here's a video from, what's his name? Oh, he's killing an opossum. They say the horrific incident happened at on April 2nd at a residence in Kennesaw, where the teens lived. They went back to the neighborhood to speak to the teens' families, who declined to interview. A neighbor did say off camera that she was disgusted to learn the details. Oh, okay, who cares? It's really disturbing, scary. They have to be punished for it. I'm glad they caught it before it was a small child or something else that they would go after. After they publicized it on Snapchat, another student provided the video to police, who began an investigation. Goodness. Two police offices jointly investigated the incident, which led to the arrest of the 19-year-old Ruckovic Williams and 16-year-old juvenile. Both are charged with 5 counts of felony aggravated cruelty to animals, a felony.
And the social media responses are still coming in. Many of you alarmed by this story, just like we are in the newsroom. So we went to police and also in the community where it happened.
How do we find this video?
After hearing about this disturbing case that ended in the arrest of 19...
I'm not going to look it up, but you probably could.
...year-old Raquavius Williams and a 16-year-old juvenile, we talked with Cobb County Police, the department still in shock.
As a police officer, I've obviously seen some disturbing things, and this was towards the top of that.
And police found out what happened through Snapchat. The teens allegedly publicized what happened on the app. A student.
Sorry, if you're not watching the video version, you don't know what I'm laughing at.
They got a hold of the two teens without going into the graphic.
It's just how they're doing the video. Anyway, well, so they smashed an opossum in the head, and then they. How did they kill the others, though? They threw them into a bathtub of chemicals, right? And then the opossum went, no, I'm drowning in bleach. Okay. Mugshot.com's alleged co-owners arrested on extortion charges. They have been arrested in South Florida on a recently issued California warrant. The notorious website publishes mugshots and then demands payment for their removal. On Wednesday, the Attorney General of California brought criminal charges against the two owners. The quartet has been charged with extortion, money laundering, and identity theft. One was arraigned by the Pennsylvania state judge on Wednesday. His bail was reportedly set at $1.86 million. And Uzdan. Sorry, what's going on here? Okay, so there's 4 people, so they're very hard to keep track of. This pay-for-removal scheme attempts to profit off of someone's humiliation. Those that can't afford to pay into this scheme to have their information removed pay the price when they look for a job, housing, or try to build relationships with others. This is exploitation, plain and simple. In the same statement, the police office said that these defendants extracted more than $64,000 in removal fees from approximately 175 individuals with billing addresses in California. Nationally, the defendants took more than $2 million in removal fees from approximately 5,703 individuals. Approximately 5,703. Mugshots.com did not respond to a request for comment. So Mugshots.com is a website where the first thing it writes on their website, all are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Published mugshots or arrest records are previously published public records of an arrest, indictment, and registration, the deprivation of liberty, or a detention. The mugshots or arrest records published on mugshots.com are in no way an indication of guilt, blah, blah, blah. So mugshots.com goes around and grabs the publicly accessible mugshots and police reports of a bunch of people. I actually should go to this website more often to get affidavits. This is the website I've been looking for this entire time. Unfortunately, it might be shut down soon. So they go around, they gather all these mugshots and affidavits and indictments, and then they publish it online and they go, it's a person and he got arrested, right? And then you go, oh no, that's me. And they go, okay, we'll take it off our website if you want to pay us. But that's strange. And now they're getting charged with putting stuff on their website. I guess it's not illegal to put stuff on the website. It's just the pay us to take it down part, right? Because it's already publicly accessible. So it's not them putting it up that's the bad part. It's them going, I need you to take it down. All right, let's see what this lady did. Jennifer Huff, according to AJC.com, fugitive caught and charged with concealing the death of another and tampering with evidence. Is there a link to the actual police documents? No. It just says a couple that has been on the run since a man's body was found at their home has been arrested. Michael Brent Huff and Jennifer Louise Huff have each been charged with concealing the death of another and tampering with evidence. The Huffs rented a home on Fleeman Road in Barrow County where authorities found a body buried Wednesday, according to police. An autopsy confirmed the body was that of Montez Watson, who was reported missing from Walton County in February, okay? Michael Huff surrendered Thursday and was booked into the Barrow Jail. Jennifer Huff was arrested in North Carolina and is expected to be returned. An investigation into the death continues. Oh my God, this is just a news site now. Second from the top, the shooter from Santa Fe. What if he writes in? He's like, can you please take that down? I'm the shooter from Texas. That's crazy. I've never known that this site aggregated all this info. Ooh. Here's a sexy one. Former Connecticut co-ed accused of false rape claims. She never told investigators she was sexually assaulted. Oh, great. I could read these all day. Unfortunately, they're going to be shut down soon. Let's see. So anyway, mugshots.com owners arrested. Oh, well, that's too bad. And I found out about it too late. Wife told soldier her baby died and then tried to sell the newborn on Facebook. Army Sergeant Steven Garcia is a patrol supervisor with a military police unit, but the fight of his young life isn't on the battlefield. He's fighting for the custody of a child who isn't his. Huh? What? Who cares? From Seoul, South Carolina, where he's stationed, that's a hard battle to win. When his now estranged wife, Marina Garcia, told him she was pregnant during his deployment, Steven assumed he was the father. Then, when Marina told him their daughter died, he believed that too. It was pretty emotional. We cried quite a bit together over the phone. It was devastating. But the baby was born on February 2nd. It was actually a boy, but it was not fathered by Steven, 24. Being overseas made it much harder to cut through all the lies back home. Marina, 31, tried to hide the truth from Steven and his family. Police say she was conspiring with a couple from the small town of Kennedy, Texas, to sell the boy and forge paperwork to give Alex and Leslie Hernandez legal parental rights. 3 days after the boy was born, an Arizona Department of Public Safety officer pulled over the couple along Interstate 10. The baby was in the car with them. What? Hang on. The new parents had the baby? They let it slip that there was not the child's biological parents. Alex Hernandez, 33, pleaded guilty to forgery in April for signing the boy's birth certificate as a father. Leslie Hernandez pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit forgery. The couple's sentencing won't be carried out until the original mother's case moves through the courts. What? The couple were allowed to go back to Texas while awaiting sentencing but could face a year in prison. Okay, so the lady has a baby. It's not the original dad's. It's some other guy's, but she was married to the original, like the guy, told the guy that the baby died, and then tried to get rid of the baby, get rid of the evidence, basically, to two other people who then got pulled over, and the cop is like, that baby is 100% white. I'm just kidding. One of them's Garcia and one of them's Hernandez, so they're probably matched, but whatever. So anyway, I don't know. Babies moving all over the place. All right. That is the end of the show. If you guys want more info on great news stories, head on over to mugshots.com and also head on over to newswithnick.com. Read my race report under the race results section where I just write up about, a little bit about how the race went, blah, blah, blah. And we'll see if I ever do another show again. Anything else that you guys want to talk about? Oh, yeah. So once the I called the class place today. Sorry, this makes no sense. My brain is thinking of one thing and my lips are saying another thing. This past Sunday, I did my last class that was required by the state in order to get my driving privileges restored. And I called them today. And I said, hey, what's the next step? And she said, I looked you up in the database and you're marked complete. And that's a really good thing. That means we're one step closer to being able to talk more about these classes that I've gotten to take, which I have learned so much from. They have really been a blessing. I've learned to change my ways. I've learned much about the laws and the things that you're supposed to know about. Right, everyone? And I had a guy, there was a guy there that were coming back in from a break And I think I came in at the wrong time of the conversation, but I don't really think I did come in at the wrong time of the conversation. All I hear him say is, I got just one friend. She's a terrible liberal, but she's okay. Sorry. Oh, man, I messed up the story. He goes, she's a liberal, but she's not too bad. I like her very much, but I got this other friend, and she's a terrible liberal. Man, just all over the place, right? He's going insane. He's just yelling stuff about liberals. And there's a whole bunch of people in the room. And then this lady goes, excuse me, you're in mixed company. And he goes, what? What's that? He's like, he doesn't know what mixed company is. She says, there could be some liberals here too, you know. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry about that. And I'm just sitting next to him going, what? This is amazing. I thought there was going to be a fight at the class. That would have been the best. Right. Okay, so, but I got confirmation that my stuff has been mailed to me, that I just need to fill out a couple more things, and then we should be good to finish out the rest of these fun months. I've been biking around a lot. Biking is the best, by the way. It's like you're in GTA. Have you ever been in a car, and then you're like, man, I'm at a red light. I really wish I could just run the red light and turn left on red and just cut across that parking lot and get to my destination. Guess what you can do? You can do it on a bike. Nobody cares. I know. Everyone goes, as a bike rider, you're supposed to follow the laws of the road. No. I mean, yes, but nobody enforces that crap. Don't be an idiot. Don't cut out in front of traffic when traffic has the right of way. But if there's a red light and there's nobody in the way, I'm going left on red across traffic, cutting through a parking lot, over a hill, doing a jump, killing a possum. It is GTA if you're on a bike, because nobody enforces traffic laws on a bike rider. That's crazy, right? So you can do anything. Just can't go quite as fast. But other than that, it's like, yeah, the city is mine. Wherever I want to go. All right, thanks for coming to the news show, and see you next time.